Today, we will read Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. Before we begin, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to read your word. I thank you that we are able to hear from you, that you are a God who wants us to know you. And so you have given us your word so that we can learn about you and learn to follow you, and we can see who you are. Lord, I pray that today you would speak to our hearts. Help us hear the message that you want us to hear. Help us understand it, and help us see how does it fit into our lives and what we should do because of it. Lord, we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 5, verses 21 through 43. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue leaders, named Jairus, came, and when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. He pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors, and had spent all she had. Yet, instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you can ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid. Just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw a commotion, with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said, "Talitha kaum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and began to walk around. She was 12 years old. At this, They were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Okay, in today's story, we see Jesus performing two miracles. He goes and is surrounded by a crowd and is met by a man named Jairus, who wants him to come and heal his daughter. This man is worried about his little girl, and he wants Jesus to come and heal her. On the way, something interesting happens. This woman, who has been sick for years and years and years, she's been sick for 12 years. She comes and she touches him to be healed. Now, this woman, she had a issue of bleeding. What is that? Well, basically, her monthly time never stopped, and she had tried and tried and tried and talked to doctors and given up all that she had spent all of her money to have this healed, and she ended up worse. No one could help her. Now, it's interesting that in Jesus' culture, this would have been more serious than just an annoyance, than just a difficult disease. Because as a woman during that time, she would be considered unclean. She would be considered defiled, that they could not participate in certain religious practices. Other people could not touch things that they had touched, and there were many things about being unclean that isolated her or separated her from society. And then she couldn't participate in religious things. She couldn't go into the temple or into the synagogue. And so this was a difficult thing for her. And it made her all the time unclean. And so she was very desperate to find help. And she knew that if she did, that she believed that if she just touched Jesus, she would be healed. And she did. And it worked. Now, what's interesting is Jesus then stops, turns around, and says, "Who touched me?" And eventually she admits it, but all of his disciples at first are like, "What? There is a big crowd. What do you mean, who touched you?" But Jesus knew that something had happened. I want to say that Jesus probably knew who she was, but he was trying to give her a chance to identify herself and to tell her story, because he wanted her and those around her to see and know what had happened. You see, when I read this, and as I study this, and as I think about it, I see more than just healing. I see cleaning. Because she was always unclean, undefiled, Jesus purified her. Her touching him, according to Jewish tradition, would have made him unclean. And so it is important to see this goes more than just physical healing. That, yes, he healed her physically, but Jesus also has the power to deal with the things that make us unclean. Now, this was an external, physical thing that made her unclean in their culture and their religion. But for us, there are things in our lives that make us unclean. There are sins in our lives. When we sin, we are unclean. We are defiled. And God has provided a way through Jesus for us to be clean. Through Jesus, we can have our hearts clean and purified so that we can come before a holy and pure God. Apart from Jesus, we can't find cleansing. We can't be clean. And so this gives me a picture, not just of physical healing, but of cleaning. Jesus has the power to heal us, yes, but he also has the power to cleanse us, to make us pure. And I think that is so important. When we sin, we can go to God and receive forgiveness through Jesus. Now, next, Jesus continues on his way to Jairus' home. But people come to him and say, "Stop bothering Jesus. Your daughter is dead." But he says, "Have faith." He goes, and all the people are mourning. They know what a dead body is. They know how to tell if she is dead or not. And they have seen that she has died, and they are mourning. This is the tradition, the way that they do it, and they cry, and they wail. And yes, it was a very sad time for them. But Jesus said, "She's not dead. Why are you crying?" They laughed at him. They knew she was dead. But Jesus said, "Have faith." And so he goes in, and he tells her to get up, and she does. She gets up. Jesus has power, and he has power over death itself. And this is encouraging, that while he may not bring us back to life physically, he does have power over death. And he can bring us back to life spiritually, that our spirits come back to life. But it also gives us hope for the future, for life after death, because Jesus has conquered death. And he demonstrates that in a physical way, so that we can see both the spiritual and the physical, that one day, all those who trust him and believe him will be raised back to life to live with him for eternity. You see, our lives don't end when our bodies die. There is an eternal future that we have to look at. Will we be spending it with Jesus in heaven or apart from Jesus in hell? It takes faith. We must believe him, we must trust him, and follow him, and believe that one day he will raise us back to life to live with him forever. Those who believe have that hope. Do you have that hope? Today, that's the two things that I would say. Do you have the hope that one day Jesus will raise you among the others to live with him for eternity? If you don't, I pray that you would find it. If you don't, it's simple as trusting Jesus, believing him, asking him to forgive you, acknowledging that, "Lord, I have sinned, and that sin separates me from you." Just like this woman was unclean, our sin makes us unclean and separates us from God. But Jesus has the power to cleanse us. And if we just believe and ask him to, he will. So that's the second thing. Is there something in your life you need to be cleansed from? Whether it is for the first time, or another time after you've made a decision to follow Jesus, he can cleanse you. If you've never followed Jesus, again, we just have to admit that we have sinned, that our sin separates us from God. Acknowledge that Jesus has the power to cleanse us, to clean us from that sin. Ask Him to do it. Turn from our sins, turn to Him, and trust Him to clean us. And then follow Him. I pray that if you've never followed Jesus, that you would do that today. Lord, I pray that you would draw us to you. Lord, if there is something that is keeping us from you, help us turn from it and allow you to clean us so that we can be right with you and follow you. Lord, I thank you that you have power over everything, over sin, over sickness, over death, and that you can save us. We pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.